Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. The verse taken from the scripture reading, which is our text this morning, is verse 32 of Luke chapter 24. And they said one to another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture?" I trust today that this assembly will not simply somehow misplace both in the church year and also in the time of day, although being called misplaced might be one of the kinder things that has been said about me recently. But the story from our text is one which takes place in the evening, not in the morning. In fact, the organist has already asked me whether I arranged for the darkness to be more in keeping with the hymn. And the story takes place immediately after Easter, not many, many weeks after Pentecost. And yet, this is the gospel reading for this day as assigned to us, and I find it particularly and peculiarly fitting, as God's word usually is. And I sometimes, in frequent visits to the campus, I sometimes think I work at an airport, I hear students talking about the great amount of work, the great amount of reading, the testing, the papers that they must do for the summer courses which they are taking. And I assure you that I hear the same thing from the professors. So which is it more difficult to do, to write one of your papers or to have to read it? But now the summer term is almost over. It's almost time for some of you, for some of us, to find some extra time for rest. And in this initial thought, I find a starting point for this meditation. Musicians realize that in playing their music, the rest are just as important as the notes, in order to get the proper timing to the performance. Without careful attention to the rest between the musical phrases, the music loses much of its beauty, much of its meaning. What is true of music is also true of our Christian lives, when the hurly-burly of daily living, our spirits too desperately need rest, moments of prayer and meditation and quiet study of the Bible. These are the moments that we spend alone with our God in the private meditation of our hearts, or perhaps more conspicuously in God's house during chapel services such as this one. These are the rest from the constant pressure of life, during which we are able to refuel our inner resources in order to face those same daily lives. And now, this kind of rest is facing us with ample opportunity to spend more time with God's holy word, to read and study, to pray and meditate over it, without any test on what we might read, without any paper to be drawn as a conclusion. But God's word is not so restful that it lulls one to sleep, so to speak. The early church, as described in the book of Acts, indicated that whenever our gospel was preached, it not only stored up the person's faith, but it also resulted in action. Something always happened. People heard the word of God, and they became Christians. Or they became better Christians. And they wrote with their lives the story that is the church. The rest of meditation and worship recharged their spiritual batteries, and the fires of faith, which were then lighted by the gospel, burned fervently within them. Aren't all of these thoughts in our text this morning? Two men going down a road from Jerusalem to Jericho, Jerusalem to another. A stranger joins them, and together they walk, they talk, through the evening shadows, until they ask him to stay with them. "Abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent." He stays, he talks, and suddenly he disappears. The restful, calming part is this, that they know that they've been walking hand in hand with Jesus, risen from the dead. But the significant verse in the story of the Emmaus disciples is our text. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Something happened in that hour spent with Jesus, and history attests to the fact that once again the hearers were set afire as Jesus taught them his word. For it was after this that the disciples began to work at finding the truth. Probably one of the notable facts in the story is the approach which Jesus used by his disciples. It would have been very easy for the Savior to convince these men of his resurrection simply by showing himself to them and saying, "Well, here I am. Now you see me. Don't be disturbed." He might have said something to them recalling his own promise that he would rise again on the third day. But he didn't do this. His purpose with them was something more than to simply convince them that he was alive. Something more than merely to have them see him. He wanted them to see him, as it were, in the fulfillment of all the scriptures they so highly treasured but little understood. He wanted them to see him, and so he opened to them the scriptures. Oddly enough, before speaking to them, and this is what it amounted to, he rebuked them. "Oh, fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken." He rebuked these people for not knowing their own scriptures. But then as he walked with them by the way, he began with Moses and the prophets, and he recalled for them all that the prophets had spoken. He opened the scriptures for them and related them to himself. He must have taken the disciples through the entire Old Testament, the law, the prophets, and penetrated their depth to show how the Savior had come not to abolish scripture, but to fulfill it. He lifted the veil which hid these truths from them, so that they might understand all the heartbreaking things of the past 2 days which had happened according to God's plan for salvation. And you know, when the Lord opened the scriptures to the disciples and the road to Emmaus, they were never the same again. And how could they be? Life is never the same for anyone for whom the scriptures are open. Dull routine becomes a challenging opportunity. Utter defeat becomes a glorious victory. Fear and doubt become courage and conviction. Selfishness and stinginess become service and sacrifice. All for him who first loved us. What could be a heart as cold as ice can become a heart on fire for Christ Jesus. And you know it is still true today that it is the Lord himself who must open the scriptures for us and allow us to see him in every case. There's really no meaning for scripture in our lives unless we see in every case Christ and his cross and his salvation for us. Whether we are in Genesis or Revelation, Jesus is the ever reoccurring theme like a mighty symphonic fugue around which all scripture must move. He alone is the fulfillment of God's eternal plan for our eternal life. Both the Old Testament and the New center in him, viewing him as our only salvation from sin and death. Until the Lord opens the scripture for us, until we see Christ Jesus our Savior as the theme of it all, the Bible merely remains a closed book. And so now, shortly, a longer period of rest faces many of us. A time when we may personally open the scriptures at our leisure, and a time during which the Lord himself may open to each one of us personally and individually
the Holy Word. God still speaks with that voice, with reference to our own personal life, to our own particular problems and circumstances of life. In His Holy Word, we find forgiveness for our sins, faith to support our doubts, courage to overcome our fears, and our Christian journey through life as Jesus walked with us by the way. He asked us to pour out our troubles, our griefs, our concerns upon Him. Then He opens the Scriptures and reveals Himself as our personal Savior from sin. Throughout each page, we are assured that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So during the restful period that is to come, enjoy the Word of God. Listen to God speak. Find the Scriptures open for you, for your personal inspiration, for your salvation. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.